strength in our lives. We acknowledge you that you are our strength from the beginning. You are our life. We exalt you, Jesus. We are grateful for who you are to us. We exalt you as a church. We exalt you as individuals. We exalt you as families, oh God. We are grateful to you, Lord. Be thou exalted in the name of Jesus. Lord, this morning we pray that your word will come to us with power. That your word will have a free course in our lives this morning. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we know that you are here. And so we pray that feel free, Jesus, to do what you would do with us this morning. Lord, feel free with our lives. Feel free to touch us, oh God. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Clap for Jesus. That clap is not for me. It's not for me. The King of Kings to the Lord of all. Hallelujah. Can we clap for the choir? Can we appreciate them as they go back to their seats? Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Good morning, church. Okay, for some few weeks now, we've been on the series of faith. How many of us have been blessed by that topic? Can I see your hand? Glory to God. And so, we've seen the potentials of faith, right? And we're able to see that faith is a potential in every believer, right? And then it remains just a potential if we don't activate it. It remains dormant. It remains inactive if we don't activate it. And during my study, I saw that one of the ways to activate faith is by speaking. Glory to God. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, it said, by the same spirit of faith, we believe and therefore we speak. In Genesis, the Bible says the world was in a shapeless form. And what did God do? He spoke. He said, let there be light. And there was light. And so if you have not been speaking, you are wrong. If you have not been speaking to those situations, you are wrong. In fact, Jesus, in the book of, I think, Mark chapter 11, when he was hungry and he was on his way, Jesus also spoke to the people. Let's see that place. I think it's in the book of Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11 from verse 10. Okay, let's just look at verse 20. No, Jesus had already spoken from let's see from verse 12. He said, now the next day, when they had come out of Bethany, he was hungry. And so Jesus saw a fig tree having leaves. He went to see, perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to eat, he found nothing. For it was not the season of figs. In response, Jesus said to it, meaning that fig tree spoke something, because you don't respond to something that doesn't speak to you, right? He said, the Bible says, in response, Jesus said, let no man eat fruit from you again. Jesus was hungry, and he expected that the fig tree has a fruit, but there was none. And in response, Jesus spoke to it, let no man eat from you again. And coming in the morning, the disciples saw it and said, the fig tree which you caused has withered away. And what did Jesus say to them? Said, have faith in God. So how many things in our lives, you know, the lesson I got from here is that there are some things in our lives that has been speaking negativity to you. What will be your response to them? Praise God. You don't understand that. You know, sometimes when you see your ATM card, If there's no money in your bank account, what comes to mind? When you see your ATM card will be saying no money. What would be your response? Sometimes when your body tells you you are sick, what would be your response? So meaning, as faith beings, you don't keep quiet. It is not by what you see, what anything says negative things, you respond. There should be a corresponding response from you to counter the negative talk into your life. Do you understand that? And Jesus responded. Praise God. So what has been your response to the situations around you? Have you been speaking? Ask your neighbor, have you been speaking? Your faith will remain dormant if you don't speak. It will remain in a dormant position if you don't speak to activate it. Praise God. And then last week, we saw the audacity of faith. Amen. We saw that a believer must act in boldness. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 28 verse 1, it said, the righteous are as bold as a lion. How bold are you? How bold are you? After speaking, it means as a believer, after speaking, you don't just stop there. You take a step. Praise God. After speaking, you act. And then, you know, pastor was showing us some men that wanted the healing of their friend. They went to the extent of removing the roof. Imagine how offensive that is. It's not their household. I'm very sure. Jesus was not using that place. Imagine Jesus is here using this place, you know, as a, for a meeting. And some people had faith from him, and then they saw a lot of people. And they said, no, our friend today must get healing. And then they go and look for, climb this our bamboos and go to the roof and then remove. Praise God. How offensive is that? They removed the roof and, you know, brought their friend down to get his healing. Imagine what the owner of that house would say. You guys, you will fix this roof today. But they acted in boldness. They were audacious. And so this is going to take us to our teaching today. The fight of faith. The fight of faith. Let's open our Bible to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1, chapter 6, verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Fight the good fight of faith. The only recommended fight a believer should be fighting is this kind of fight. The fight of faith. Amen. That's it. Because the Bible says the just shall live by what? The just shall live by what? So it means that fight is actually for your life. That fight is a fight for your life. And then if you look at the book of Ephesians chapter 6, it said, take the shield of faith by which you can use to stop the fiery darts. It is not God that will stop fiery darts for you. It is you taking hold of your faith. Praise God. So faith is like a shield for a believer, right? Faith is your shield. He said, take up your shield of faith. By which you will use to stop fiery darts. And so, the only fight recommended in the Bible for a believer is that fight of faith. That is why you must do everything to ensure that you must exercise your faith. And the truth is, if there's a fight, if they say there's a fight now, you expect that there are two or more people, right? Because you can't be fighting yourself, right? So it means if you are going to be fighting, there's something that is actually disturbing you. There's something that you want to fight against. That means in exercising our faith, there are some things that wants to stop us. There are some things that wants to stand in our way of exercising our faith. And those are the things we'll be talking about this morning. Praise God. So number one, a form, an hindrance to faith. Number one thing that hinders people to faith is lack of the knowledge of our place in Christ. Praise God. Number one thing that hinders a believer from exercising his or her faith is lack of the knowledge of our place in Christ Jesus. Let's see that. Colossians chapter 2 verse 8. Okay. Be careful that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit based on human tradition, based on the elemental forces of the world and not based on Christ. Next verse. For in him, the entire fullness of God's nature dwells bodily. Next verse. And you are being filled by him. That is who you are in Christ. You have been filled by Christ, the head of all principalities and power, who is the head over every ruler and authority. Praise God. And so, when you speak as a believer a word of faith, you are speaking from a place of authority. Hallelujah. So, a believer must understand these things. A believer that doesn't understand a place in Christ will not be able to exercise faith. The person will be operating from a place of guilt and defeat. Amen. Will be operating from a place of defeat. Not knowing that he has been filled by Christ. So all that Christ is, that you are. And our place is where you are seated now. This is where everybody sees you right now. But that is not where you are seated. We are seated with Christ. In the heavens. Amen. Let's put the next verse. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not done with hands, by putting off the body of flesh in the circumcision of the Messiah. Let's go. Having been buried with him in baptism, you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Next verse. And when you were dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive with him and forgave you all your trespasses. So when you are speaking, it is not a sinner that is speaking. You know, this is what take away some people from having authority for speaking. When they want to pray, the devil brings back everything that you have been in your life. All that you have done, all the sins that you have committed, and then you will start your prayer like this: I declare everything is working this year. I declare. And then when you see that picture, the devil will bring that picture, and then you begin to go, Lord, that you may forgive me, that you may have mercy. So this knowledge must be sound in us to be able to exercise our faith. It must be sound. Praise God. Let's go. He erased the certificate of debt. You are not indebted to anyone. He erased it with his obligations. And that was against us, opposed to us. So everything that opposed to you has been erased, has been taken away. He said he has taken it out of the way by nailing it to the cross. Let's go. I'm going somewhere. Mm-hmm. Look at what Jesus did. He disarmed the rulers and authorities. He disgraced them publicly and triumphed over them. So you are not fighting for victory. You are fighting from victory. So when you speak, it is not to fight the devil. It is to enforce victory. It is different. It is different. You are not fighting. There is no battle. Look at what Jesus has done. He said he has disarmed them. He has disgraced them publicly. But the truth is, some of them, they have not gotten the memo. Yeah? They have not gotten the memo. So, you have to, Oga, come. They have not gotten the memo. And so when they come, you have to tell them. Because you understand, this is why you need to understand your place. If they don't know, you know. If they don't know what has been done, we know what has been done. And so when we speak, we expect that they follow our instruction. That's why the Bible says, resist the devil, not fight the devil. You resist and he will flee. You resist by this knowledge.
we flee. Praise God. So it is by knowledge. It is by knowledge. So these are the things. So when we want to exercise our faith, we need this understanding has to be sound in us. We need to understand where we are speaking from. If you don't know where you are speaking from, you will just be speaking. And then even you don't understand what you are saying. Praise God. The number two, hindrance that we need to fight against. The lack of the knowledge of God's word. Amen. Let's see that in Romans chapter 10 verse 17. Faith comes by hearing. Romans 10, 17. So faith comes from what is heard. And what is heard comes through the message about Christ. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. And so, if there's no word of God, what happens to faith? Yeah? Do you understand? Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. And so, if there's no word of God, what happens to the faith? And so, this is the importance of God's word. Because faith is a life we live according to the word of God. Living the reality of God's words, that is faith. What has God said about you? Living the exact thing God has said is faith. Yeah? Because if God says, yeah, you'll be healed. You know, there was a time, I think when I was in school, some people were actually saying that if you are sick and you are saying, no, if you say, I'm not sick, that you are lying. Do you understand what I say? Like, you know, when you speak by faith, I don't have headache in the name. You say, you better say the truth. Some cotton share. Let's know what's wrong with you so that we can help you. Are you feeling headache or not? But by faith, you say, I have been, by his stripes, I am healed. So, it is not lying. You are living the reality of the word of God. That you are, said, you are in the world, but you are not of the world. They are saying that you are, but you are just trying to live your life according to what the word says about you. So that's not lying. Because the word of God does not lie. And so, when somebody that is looking for a baby now, says, I see my babies. I'm buying their shoes. I'm buying their clothes. And then some unbeliever will say, you better don't fool yourself. Where are the babies? Because they can only see what is around them. But by the word of God, we are living the truth of the word of God. You know, there was a day I was studying in the morning. And I slept off where I was studying. And this prayer point I knew it wasn't my prayer point. Because it just dropped. You know, where you are praying and this prayer point just dropped in your mind. And immediately I woke up, I began to pray. And it was, Lord, let there be manifestation of all your truths in my life. Let there be the manifestation of all the truths of your word in my life. You know, there's the truth of God's word. There's the reality of the word. And so, when you live if you align yourself according to the word of God, that is living in faith. And so don't let anybody say, you better stop deceiving yourself. Something you have not gotten, say you have gotten it. You are just claiming every time. Claim me, I guess you claim it. Claim it, because it has been given. He said he has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. So it is by speaking that you receive all these things, by aligning to the word of God. Praise God. And so you will look for a word that matches your situation and you begin to declare it. And you begin to declare it until you see it. Until you see the manifestation in your life. You know, when I finished service, when I was in Kano, and you know, I was just looking for job all around, and this young man came. I think he has been home for years. He was still looking for a job. And he said, when did you finish service? I said, I just finished last month or so. He said, welcome to our group. I said, to where? He said, you have just spent 1 month now. Me, I've been home since 5 years. I said, well done. Me, I will not wait till 5 years. I will get my job now. And, you know, thank God, you know, for our youth pastors then in fellowship. One of our pastors then, he was just preaching and was saying, look for the word of God and just declare. are just doing small, small things. And it's very, this particular pastor is very, when he talks, you just be as if he wants to come and flog you where you are seated. As if the word should enter your head. What is wrong with you? Why are you looking for a job of 50,000, 10,000? This. Look for the word of God. God has promised you. Ha! I just stood there. I said, hey, look for the word of God. Okay. So when I got home, I was praying. And then I saw this Ephesians 3:20. That God is able to do exceedingly abundantly according to the power that was. I started declaring that word. Before the end of that month, I got a job. So look for a word and personalize it to your situation. Do you understand? And that is, you keep speaking it until it looks like you. When you start, it might not look like who you are. It might not look like your situation. It might be like, what is all this? What am I saying? But if you keep speaking it, it becomes, until it becomes your reality. Praise God. So we must have the knowledge of the word. Have the knowledge of the word to be able to stand. Praise God. Number three, self-sufficiency is also an interest of faith. Self-sufficiency. John 15:5. What does the Bible say? John 15:5. Jesus speaking, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do what? Without me, you can do nothing. Nothing. You know, I think one thing I've seen that we believers, what we do is that we live our life in compartments. There's a place we say, God, this one, when he has to do with my health, okay, I will talk to God. Then you put maybe your work in another compartment. You put your life. Say, I know. Have you seen people talking like this? This is business. This is not church. This is not church, churchy thing. This is business. This is business. What? He said, without me, you can do nothing. I heard the testimony of a pastor that said, he said, he was looking for a job. And so, anything. He said, just wanted to do anything. So that, because his wife was pregnant and they needed money. And so, he was looking for a job, and then he saw the job of photography. He said he has never learned photography before in his life. He has never learned photography before. And so, they offered him the job of photography. And the man was asking him, he said, can you do this job? He said, he didn't want to lie. He said, I can do all things through Christ. That strengthens me. The man said, man, have you done this job? I said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And so they gave him the job. And then he said, when he give, you know, they would snap pictures and then they would come and wash. So there's a way they will wash that it must come out the right color. And so the first time the man showed him and then he left. So the next time when he was there, the man said, oh, go and do this. And then he went there. He said, he just started speaking in tongues. He was washing and speaking in tongues. I can do all things. I know all things by the grace of Jesus. He did it. He was now more perfect than the man that taught him. And the man was now asking him, how, you said you were looking like a novice when I brought you in, the way I was looking, but how come you did it more beautiful? Like he said, he doesn't know. And they now brought another person to come and learn from him. He didn't know what to teach the person. The person said, how do you do it like this, like this? How do you get it? He said, I just do it by the power of God. He said, what are you saying? Teach me. And then he couldn't teach him. He could only preach the gospel to him. So don't separate God from your life. He said, you can do nothing. So somewhere in your life, you have been sufficient. I am the wisest. I know this thing. If it's this one, nobody should talk to me. I understand this thing. I can do it by myself. And then you remove God's hand from it. Whereas it can be more perfect than that. If you include God in it. Praise God. So in which area of your life have you been self-sufficient? Is it in your marriage? Is it in your home? Is it in your business? Where have you been self-sufficient? And then you can't trust yourself and trust God at the same time. It doesn't work like that. You can't trust in your power and then trust God. You just have to trust God to help your power. Praise God. Number four, doubt. Doubt. James chapter 1 from verse 6 to 7. Doubt is the lack of conviction that God can do a thing. You are not convinced that God can do a thing. That is doubt. James chapter 1, not Genesis. James chapter 1. We are going to pray this morning. So I want you to get ready. All those stubborn situations, we are going to speak to them this morning, and they will hear the voice of God through you in the name of Jesus. So if you are going to write them down and be looking at them like this, or write them in your heart, and then we'll speak to them this morning and mountains will move. Amen. Amen. James chapter 1 said, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Next verse. For let not that man that has a doubt think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. And what did I say doubt is? Is you are not convinced that God can do a thing. And you know, we saw the example of such in the text that we read last week when we're taking the audacity of faith about that man that brought his son. He was asking Jesus, he said, if you can do anything, if he wasn't sure, he didn't believe in the power of God. And what was Jesus' response? He said, if there's nothing impossible in the gathering of believers. Do you believe that this morning? There's nothing impossible. So when you trust God with no doubt. He said, let not man think. So can we say that why we've been asking and it's as if we have not received is because we have doubts. Because that's what the verse 7 says. It said, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So can you take a minute now? What have you asked God? Can you take a minute to think about it now? Is it that you have not received those things because you have doubted God? You have doubted the immortal. You have doubted the invisible. The Lord that created this, you have doubted him. Can we say that? Amen. He said, having a second thought shifts you from trust of God. It takes your mind to an alternative. When you doubt God. Amen. It shifts your mind to an alternative. Because sometimes when we pray sometimes, like, okay, maybe somebody is not feeling fine now and is praying for healing. But somebody is praying for healing and is going to the medicine store and you are taking the drug. Do you understand? You are taking the drug. You are praying for healing and then you are looking at, you are hiring the drug. There's an alternative. You know, like Pastor used to say that in fact, technology has affected us a lot. There are a lot of things now that are like alternatives, you know, to what we should believe God for. There are alternatives. And so when we pray, instead of focusing on God, we'll still think about those alternatives. And then we'll say we want to help God. Do you understand? So that is, we must be convinced that God is able to do everything. Amen. Fear, number 5. Fear. Mark chapter 4 verse 40. Mark chapter 5 verse 40. 4. Chapter 4. Not 5. Sorry. Chapter 4. Chapter 4 verse 40. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And so, it means when fear is present, you can't exercise faith. He said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no fear, faith? In fact, when the devil comes, the first thing he tries to introduce into the life of you is fear. So that you begin to doubt God. Fear brings doubt. And so, we must ensure that we take away everything called fear. Because fear does not come from God. Said he has not given us the spirit of fear, but of sonship. Amen. So fear is the lack of trust in God. So if you fear a thing more than God, it means you believe in the power of that thing than God. Amen. So fear must be taken away. Fear, for you to be able to exercise your faith, you must trust God enough. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. So if you fear any other thing, it is foolishness. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Fear in any other thing is foolishness. Fear in any other things means you trust in the power of that thing more than the power of God. Amen. You know, when I wanted to give birth to my son, I was in the hospital. And so I was doing my antenatal. And the physician or the doctor said, because the week I went to see him was actually supposed to be the week that, you know, I supposed to have, you know, gotten into labor. And he was saying, you know how doctors speak, they are so confident, years of learning, you know. And he was saying, I think by this week you should have started labor, but from all indications, you might not be able to start labor yourself. I was just looking at him and smiling. He said, you might not be able to start labor yourself. Next week, he was so sure and certain that I will not, the labor will also not start till next week. He said, so by next week this time, come, and then we'll know what to do. So I moved close to him. I said, sir, the labor will start on his own, and I will meet you in the delivery room. And the man was looking at me like this. He said, yeah, anything you say, and anything, because it didn't be, see, the devil will use people to speak to you, to introduce fear. Imagine telling a pregnant woman that kind of thing. That you will not be able to start your labor. And then if immediately you accept that word of fear, every other thing, in fact, the devil will help you add more to it. So I moved close to him. I said, sir, I will start the labor and then we'll meet. The next time I will see you is in the delivery room. And that was exactly what happened. So how is the devil introducing fear to you? As if that was not enough. The day the labor started at home, I was going. The devil told me, he said, you will not come back. He said, as you are going, you will not come. I said, I now looked at my husband. I said, I will go and I'll come back here. If I didn't even tell my husband all these discussions. So when we started, we started speaking. So immediately, when the devil spoke to me, and then I kept quiet and I started crying. Will I come back? Will I not? Why? What are you saying? That does not carry weight. Your tears does not carry weight anywhere. I start crying. I saw, or you dream. I make dreams. Plenty. Plenty, plenty dreams. That doesn't tally with what you want. You speak and they go away. The devil comes to introduce fear. Why he introduces fear is to bring down your faith and then you die. Because the Bible says, let not that man think that he will receive anything from God. So the devil knows this. And so he brings fear so that you have doubt. And then instead of speaking against it, we accept it. I begin to say, what's up? And then when you come to see the pastor, when I go, I will not come. I say, who said it? Say, I heard. And then I think someone also said, you can't even begin to, you just be saying. And everybody you meet, it will be as if they are saying you will not come back. Because of the fear. Everybody you are seeing, it will be as if they are greeting you, mommy, how are you? It will be as if the person is saying you will not come back. Because fear, Fear makes you do stupid things. Fear makes you do what you are not supposed to do. In fact, fear shakes you. If you allow it, it grounds you in one place. You won't be able to move. Have you seen somebody that is actually afraid, like physically afraid? The person will not be able to run. You know, there was a sister that was sharing one testimony one time like that about a trailer that burnt along Mokola. He said she was so afraid that the fire was coming, she could not move. The trailer had, you know, fell down, oil spilling out, fire coming towards where she was standing. Because of fear, she could not move from where she was. It was somebody that had to drag her from there. So exactly what physical fear would do to you is what fear, spiritual fear would do. Exactly the same thing. In fear, you will not be able to start anything. You started a business before, and because that one failed, who said this, the next one will fail? And because of the fear of failure, say, if I start now, that last one, it failed though. This one too. And the devil start pushing those things. You know, you don't know how to do this thing. Better don't start. And then with fear, you can't move. You will not move. Your mates are leaving you. But because of fear, you've been in that same spot for years. Because of fear. Fear to launch out because of failure. The Bible says, Peter said, Lord, if it is you, ask me to come. I say, it is me, come. And so when he stepped out, he was going. But when fear came, so it began to sink. That is what fear would do to a believer. If you allow fear come into your heart, you will not be able to move from that position. In fact, spiritually, you will not be able to move because you are too afraid to take action. Praise God. And so we must come against every spirit of fear. And so anything that speaks fear to you, you speak back. Anything that speaks fear to you, you speak back. Praise God. Which will take me to the next one. Trusting the physical things. That is an hindrance. We forget the definition of faith. We forget the definition of faith most of the time as believers. That faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Praise God. And so we let our faith be in the situation right now. We let it be in the situation right now. Instead of letting our belief be in what we want to happen, in what we want to materialize. And so you are paralyzed because your belief is in what you can see. Praise God. You know, when we're trusting God for building this, the church, I think we are at the roof level then. And then we're just praying about, we're trusting God for funds and all that. So, pastor traveled to Mina, and he just saw the whole land mass everywhere was so large, and in his mind he was saying, God owns all this. He created all this. He's the owner. So why am I afraid for, how many plots is this place? 2.5 plots that he was able to complete it. So when he came and told me, he said, finish. And then we received a new strength to trust God. Do you understand? That when you trust in your pockets, you can't trust God. When you trust God in your pockets, they said, pastor is praying that as many as that believe this day, for marriage, they will get married this year. And the first place your mind went to is your bank account. How do we start? Where do we start from? You start calculating. I only have 20,000 naira in my account. This is what this place is telling us. That you don't trust in the physical things. You trust God. You trust in what you want God to do. Faith is believing in what you don't see. It's like he collect those things that are not as though they are. That is faith. God collect those things that are not. He called them as though they are. And so when they lay that kind of prayer, you say, amen. You stand up in body and say, I'm one of them. And you begin to see things fall into place. But immediately your faith is in your pocket, in what you have. That will be a problem. Praise God. Our trust in God must be beyond the physical. It must be beyond the physical. I've talked about is another hindrance is inaction. Inaction. See, you don't want to take a step. You have declared a thing. You don't want to move forward because of fear. This is inaction is an hindrance. The Bible says when Peter prayed for that man, that lame man at the beautiful gate, when he prayed, the man did not stand up. He didn't stand up until Peter went to him and dragged him up with boldness. And then the man got his healing. So when you speak, like I said, you must also take action. The last one, impatience. That's another hindrance. Impatience. You are too impatient. You are too impatient. Let's see what the Bible says about Abraham in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 15. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 15. Look at what the Bible says about Abraham. It said, and so, after Abraham had waited patiently, he obtained the promise. After he had waited patiently, when did God promise Abraham of a son, of a promised child? Look at when it came to pass. What has God promised you that you are beginning to look for alternative because you are impatient? The Bible says Abraham patiently endured. He patiently waited. So impatience is an interest. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. In supplication, take your request to God in supplication and wait. Take your request to God and wait. Praise God. Impatience has diverted a lot of people from seeking alternatives. Alternative power. Because they want it now. They want it quick. Praise God. And faith is actually now. But will you be patient for God to manifest his work in your lives? Will you be patient for him? Will you patiently wait for him? I want us to pray this morning. Can you rise up to your feet? I want you to speak this morning against, I don't know, the situation that's been a mountain in front of you. A situation that has refused to go. But the spirit of faith in the house this morning, I want you to speak to them from your heart and tell them to move. He said, no matter how small your faith is, even if it's as small as a mustard seed, the Bible says, if you talk to a mountain to move, it will move. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Can you begin to speak by that same spirit of faith? That by that same spirit of faith, I believed as I saw why I speak. Can you begin to speak to every mountain, everything that stood as an hindrance in front of you, everything that's been mocking the name of God in your life, everything that's been mocking God's name in your life? Can you begin to speak the word of faith to them this morning? Can you begin to declare from your position of place in Christ, for your position as joint heirs in Christ, from your position as joint heirs in Christ, can you begin to speak this morning as all mountains begin to move, can you begin to declare, the promises of God, they are yes and amen. Can you begin to declare the word of God concerning your marriage, concerning your business? Can you begin to speak the word of God? Can you begin to speak the word of God this morning? Can you begin to see them move? Can you begin to see every mountain move? Can you begin to see every knee bow? Every situation that has led you as handicap, every situation that has tied you in one place, that has not making you move as you should move, that has not making you talk as you should talk, can you speak against them this this morning that the same spirit of faith that he held us had a good report. He said, by faith, they received a good report. By faith, they received a good report. By faith, they received a good report. Can you begin to write your own report right now? By your mouth. Begin to write the report you want to see. Not what you see right now. Can you begin to speak? Can you begin to speak? Be your prophet this morning. And begin to speak against every situation. Every situation. Every mountain. Every mountain move. Every mountain move. In the name of Jesus. Begin to use the creative power of God to create everything you want to see in your life. The Bible says, and God called light from darkness. The Father called light from darkness. Ima toke desinada. Adima kopa toka diya. Let this say get it. Makapoko posuni get desinada. Mahinanda kadabda. Let this say get it. Makopa toka diya. Let this say get it. Makapoko posuni get it. Can you speak this morning? Call lights out of darkness by the power in you, by the creative power of your Father in you. Can you create lights out of darkness? Every situation that puts you down, everywhere that they have forsaken you, can you begin to receive those calls now? In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. We trust you, Lord, for every situation, everyone here. present every situation. Come down in the name of Jesus. Every mountain destroyed in the name of Jesus. Every situation is resolved in the name of Jesus. Every situation is resolved over everyone here present, over the people that are not here, in the name of Jesus. Every family, we pray in extension for every family of Spirit Life. We declare that the word of God will become a manifestation in their life. We pray in extension for every family of Spirit Life that the word of God is what we manifest in their life. The blessings of God will be manifestation in their lives. In the name of Jesus, can we begin to appreciate God right now? Can you thank Him right now for answer prayers? Lord, we thank You. Thank You, Jesus. Because as You have said it in Your ears, so shall it be. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we exalt You. Lord, we thank You. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we have prayed. As You have said it in His ears this morning, so shall it be. In the name of Jesus. Clap for Jesus.